It's time for Stars on Sports,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. We're joined today by our Assistant Athletic Director, Stephen Cutter, our Assistant Athletic Director and Producer, Dedalian Lowry, and our Producer, Malachi. So, again, this seems to be our team heading into the summer, so excited to have all the input as we continue to talk about Stars on Sports. And today, Coach Cutter, you put me onto a great article recently about a pro coach, Steve Kerr, who coaches the Golden State Warriors, and there was so much content into it. But this really isn't diving into that article. It's kind of a subset of it because my life revolved around scheduling. You know, I have a big calendar on my wall, and we live in seasons. And, you know, as we record this podcast, we wrapped up a spring semester. We're wrapping up our spring sports seasons. And, you know, just check mark after check mark of things I have to do each time of year. You know, I wear hearing aids, so I get checked every 6 months. So I just went in for my 6 month and thinking about, man, what happened in the last 6 months and what's going to happen in the next 6 months until I see them. And I think that's true for a lot of us that, you know, we live on scheduling. So, but I also think it helps what drive performance and, you know, scheduling takes away a lot of things that, you know, so you don't, it gives you routine. You know, maybe you don't have to think about so much things. If you get into a routine, you know what to expect, and you can focus on what matters most, which is performance and athletics. But I believe, again, people wake up every day at the same time to go to work and hit traffic hour at the same time. And so I know, you know, I can't even imagine your schedule. We share a lot about, you know, how your day is, how early it starts, and how late it ends. But, you know, scheduling a big part of your life, too.
I think if you want to stay productive, scheduling is pretty important. So, yeah, it definitely impacts me. Not every day is completely scheduled out by any stretch. But understanding what's most important for your days helps you in a lot of different ways. And obviously in our role or in my role as a coach, you know, one of the bigger things is impacting others. And if you schedule properly, that allows you to have the greatest impact.
Dedalian, we were talking on the air about you. I mean, again, you have routine people schedule. I mean, when they do record podcasts, like we go every Wednesday at 11. So that's set on our schedule. And I'm guessing both are pretty set like that. If you didn't, you'd have chaos. If I just showed up and said, hey, let's go at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, you know, it would create chaos for you.
That chaos does happen from time to time. So I can't really lie about that. That there's so many different ways I could actually take this because, yeah, scheduling is a huge thing for us. I've always said, and it seems to be that my most successful shows in the network tend to have a set schedule where they come in and record each and every time. Doesn't have to be weekly, but they'll do it bi-weekly or monthly even. And those that release those shows are the most listened to shows if they're released on a certain schedule. And that has to do with the fact that not only are we on a schedule, but other people enjoy having that consistency in their life. And yeah, the only thing I would say that I am not very good about scheduling, and I need to get better about this, is I've been told that you should always schedule like a time, like at work, where you step away. Mm-hmm. Kind of a vibe, and I don't do that.
Yeah, I think that.
So my whole day will get booked up by everybody else.
Well, the day gets lost, and you don't make time for yourself. But, you know, like there's a parable out there, and I love parables about two people that chop tree all day long, but one of them goes home at lunch for an hour and he gets done better than the one that's there all day. And he goes home and sharpens his saw. Mm. So his saw is stronger for the afternoon too. And you're right. We don't do enough of that, especially if we schedule our day and get too busy of it. And we'll talk about intentional scheduling because Coach put me on a good thing of making sure, you know, put everything on my schedule, which we talk about practice plan. Because it is about productivity. It is about, like, when we're dealing with student athletes, that they know what to expect from them, that they know what they're going to do for the week or what's going to do for practice, because it makes it more effective, more efficient. And that's important because routine reduces decision fatigue. And that's one of the things, you know, like, I wear LCC stuff every day. I know Jim Harbaugh wore khakis every day, and people laughed at him. But one of the reasons he wore it is he didn't have to decide what pants he had to wear. He just, you know, he was ready to go and go. And, you know, I think we do a lot of that in our business to help reduce decision fatigue, you know, because even when we still as leaders make a lot of decisions, when I go home, like my wife has a big project at work this week and last night, she goes, I don't want to make a decision of what we're eating tonight. And I'm thinking, welcome to my world. That's how I usually feel when I come home. And so I didn't even eat because
I got to weigh in. I got to weigh in on the clothes because I don't wear LCCs every day, of course, but I have been made fun of for this. And some people would even say it's OCD, but I do it in rotation. So no matter what that shirt is, that's what I wear for the day. And then eventually I go, oh, that shirt always gets skipped. So that one means it goes to the Goodwill. That's kind of the way I do my and I rotate.
So it is a system, and we'll talk about systems too. But yeah, and I rotate too. I'm not like I wear this pullover every Wednesday, but I know people that do.
No, but yeah. You said you always wear LCC.
I
love that idea.
Yeah. And again, the brand is like a uniform to us, and we've talked about before.
That makes
sense. As soon as I put my uniform on, I'm attacking the day for LCC, just like a baseball player puts on their uniform. They got to, you know, eliminate all those distractions because, you know, in our world, elite performance begins with eliminating avoidable distractions.
Right.
And it could start as easy as what you wear or what you do in the morning. But you also hit on another thing that is Cut superpower is consistency. You talked about those that consistently do a podcast, and you know, that's an important part of scheduling, because and then it becomes an anchor for us on, you know, I park in the same spot almost every day. I sit in the same how many kids sit in the same chair in the classroom every day. When we go
people,
on the road,
people get thrown off when they sit in a different chair too.
Yeah, like, or you sit in their chair, yeah, like, yeah. Hey, that's like, my chair.
Dude.
Why is that your chair? You know, so yeah,
that's hilarious.
You could play with people by doing.
I have done it actually.
It doesn't surprise me, Dedalion. But you know, when you go on the road, you know, the one of the articles that this, you know, you go to some of the same restaurants because you like them, but it, you know, again, it helps with those whether you're superstitious or not, but familiarity helps. It builds, you know, if you're doing consistency and practice every day, that we talked a lot about confidence. So do you have some routine that you do every day in practice? I know you start every practice the same way, I believe, with, you know,
we start with some type of mental performance. Usually it's meditation, but it's not always meditation. And then we kind of go from there. We always start with communicating after the meditation. We'll talk about where we're at, where we're going, what's needed. And then, you know, practice is always varied. Depends on the season. Depends on if we're inside or outside. Depends on what's most important at that time. And then once practice ends, we all bring it back together and we have communication of, you know, this really the same stuff, what practice looked like, what we need to focus on, what's important in the classroom, you know, travel, what's the expectations, you know, just kind of all that stuff. I think communication is one of the bigger things in sports, and I obviously it is in life too. Lack of communication leads to a lot of questions and assumptions that are oftentimes far, far reaching assumptions that are not accurate. So the more that our coaching staff can communicate tends to lead to better results.
I want to get back to communication. Do you park in the same spot every day?
No.
Do you park in the same spot every day? Pretty close.
I park as far away from the door as possible.
Nice.
I have no choice but to park away from the door. So I've got that going on, but
same spot.
I kind of tend to be in the consistent area. There's me and another person that like the same spot.
Another person is in the same
and
boat.
And typically,
so it's a challenge.
I know who the other person is, and so it's usually a battle to get there first. Uh-huh. And usually, he gets there first. So
okay, I know the same. I see the same people around my car. I don't park in the same spot, but in the same area every day. Malachi, you park in the same. I know you're probably
LCC, but I with the Gannon parking, you gotta just take what you can get. You know, you're true, usually not going to get the same spot, so I usually try to park pretty far away regardless.
Yeah, I do too. I like parking far away and walking. My family gets mad, oh, you passed 50 spots to get there. Hey, walking is good for it. But communication, so I'm glad we're not going to spend a lot of time on communication, but I've shared this on before, but I believe communication is at the root of all problems and it solves all problems. But for a coach to be successful, they need to be organized and be able to communicate. If you can do those two things, all the other things seem to take place. So communication, that second part, and when I hire coaches, I look for communication as, you know, one of the leading things of, you know, if they can be a successful coach for us. But organization is that other part, and that's, again, the main topic today. And you talk about your practice plan every day of, you know, you have a general outline for it. And I've shared before, too, how I love intentional practice plans and that coaches should have practice plans. And I shared before how there was an article that our day should be, you know, coaches go through and schedule a practice plan, and at 3 o'clock we have talk, 3:08 we do layup, 3:10 we do something else, and it's just broken down to the minute. And why don't we do that with our life? So there was an article that said we should, our practice plan should be our daily plan, and that article I shared with my principal in the previous school, and he sent it to all the staff, and it was a pretty big hit. And that's to your point of also, that's how I schedule my day now. Like if I need to work on something, I put it on my schedule. And people might think, man, he's always, you know, busy. I can't schedule a meeting with him. Then I ask him to reach out to me because some of it is stuff I can move or be adaptable and flexible, which we talk about. But, you know, to your point of schedule, I don't schedule a walk for the day or whatever, but you should put it on there if you're going to make it happen because, you know, part of it is, you know, it's what we prioritize. Scheduling becomes our priority. So, and I think that's a big part of having a successful day is making sure you get your priority done and even learning on what part of the day is the best day for you to get something done. I'm not a morning person. And they talk about right after lunch, after you eat, people are a little, you know, drowsy or say, but finding those maximum times of the day to be successful. I know you schedule out your day pretty detailed.
Yeah, I schedule blocks on my calendar, and I usually schedule my week ahead on Sundays, nights, most of the time. And the blocks are not as rigid as, you know, some might think when you're hearing me speak about scheduling, but it's certainly, there's family blocks, there's deep work blocks, there's, you know, recruiting or whatever it might be. And are you always able to stay on those schedules? Absolutely not, because the world is certainly trying to do its absolute best to get you off schedules with, you know, you have this phone in your pocket at most times and things like that. So, but it gives you some consistency, and with that consistency can lead you to accomplish more things in your life than just kind of responding to everybody's needs.
Yeah, because familiarity will reduce anxiety. You stay calmer and more focused if you have that routine. And when the pressure rises, we go to our default, which is usually what is familiar to us. So I think it is important. Again, but there has to be adaptability. Like I have come in today, every day with a to-do list. And, you know, some days I can hit the ground running with, and other days I don't even get to it. Because the job is the interruptions and the distractions do take place. And so you do have to be flexible and knowing when to adapt. Saying no is a big thing, not something I'm very good at, but learning to say no. If you really got to get something done, you know, you have to, you know, block things out. People go, you know, you go to a different, I've gone to the library on campus to get away from my office if I really had to work on a project. So there definitely has to be adaptability, but that consistency leads to a culture because, again, it's back to what you prioritize. You know, usually your standards or your foundation are there every day. But it's also, again, back to stackable wins, checking things off, saying, hey, I got that done today, you know, making your bed. And, you know, I went back and, a previous podcast, we talked about that graduation speech, and there was like five or six other good things on there that we're going to have to come back to about stackable wins each day. And I think by scheduling something and putting it on your calendar, if you get that checked off, it's like winning. It's like completing something. Like when I get my to-do list done, I'm running around the office celebrating. And unfortunately, there's 10 more things that have been added to it. But, that allows it to be productive. So, but it starts with scheduling. So, you know, do your other routine that you have that help, your team or you in general?
Yeah, we try to plan out not only our practices, but goes beyond the weeks. It goes into months, and that helps with the development circle. If you're trying to get better at, baseball or basketball or anything else, nothing really happens, with a snap of fingers. Everything just takes time. And so if you're looking to develop and get better, you need some time. And if you can kind of structure it out and say, hey, this is what this month is going to look like, this is what we're trying to accomplish, it gives some freedom for failures because you're going to experience those in life, and you're going to experience a ton of them in sports too. It gives you some freedom of like, okay, well, I don't necessarily need to get to this certain goal or this number or whatever it might be today. I have the next, 30 days or 45 days to get there. So it gives you a little grace, because I think in general, people are much harder on themselves than they are on other people. And so just being able to schedule and show like, okay, this is what we're looking for, and it's not going to be instant gratification.
In our lives, our schedules, like we have a first day of practice, we have a final contest, and then we have other date throughout the day. We have the school year. We start school on this date. The end of the day of the semester is this date. Dedalion, you talked about before this podcast how yours is a little different, that you don't, it's hard telling for you if to know if we're on spring break or, if we're in the summer schedules. Having said that, you still have like a system of when new podcasts start or, a start and stop to certain projects and such that you have to manage.
Yeah, similar. As far as a new podcast goes, I mean, we usually try to start those at the beginning of a month, if possible. Okay. Sometimes they get to a month, so I have to come up with a different system. But yeah, for the most part, I don't really recognize when it's spring break or winter break mm-hmm. or anything else, because ours just doesn't stop.
Yeah. And athletics is similar. I mean, we follow the academic calendar, but
yeah, you pay attention to it. And a lot of that has to also be courteous of the other people that you work with, because they may be observing.
Right. Good point.
And on spring break, whereas I'm still going. So
right. Yeah. Nope. That's right. And knowing your audience, and you talked about a little bit about accountability, Coach Cut, because the schedule gives you that. Because if they're not where they're supposed to be, or they're not doing what's expected of them, the schedule can hold them accountable to that. Also, but understanding that there needs to be adaptability. To your point of our schedule might be different than faculty on campus or people that don't work at LCC, holidays that each organization might get off. But to have a schedule, I think helps create a sustainable performance level that allows us to all get on the same page and know when, like, we got to kind of accomplish that goal by. I mean, deadlines. Are you a deadline person that you like to work towards getting it done, or are you one that waits more closer to the deadline and it gets done at that time?
I hate to put
you on the spot.
I'm not going to say I'm a procrastinator, but there are certain projects that I will procrastinate in. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily because I'm not looking forward to it. It's just that I know it's going to be cumbersome and time consuming.
Yeah, but go ahead, Cut. Were you going to add anything?
No, I'd probably similar to Dalian on that, where like I feel like I do better last minute, so I will lean more towards that. But there's also the piece of like, yeah, I just don't really want to do that right now.
Malachi?
I try to get ahead of it. Okay. I know that if I wait until the last minute, it's gonna get pretty bad.
Look at Mr. Good Student.
Yeah, I try.
And again, I probably lend towards a little on the procrastination side. I've learned better to try and pace myself more. I think the product better, and you can like reflect and review if you get things done sooner, but there's nothing like having a goal. And, you know, we've even talked about, Brian came before, about micro and microscope or telescope goals. But I also think it's your interest, too. Things you like to do, you have a tendency to get them done, and things that might not be of interest to you are the ones you have to put on your schedule to get done, to be intentional about making sure that you find time to do them. So I've talked a lot about intentionality and practice schedule. I think it also is just in general scheduling in general. So you talked about failures. I think a schedule allows us to measure that. And, you know, again, if we don't meet that deadline, or if we have to adapt the deadline, or we don't reach that goal. I've talked about before, when you plan out a season, try not to compare yourself to other teams, but compare yourself where your successful teams were in the past. Like December 1st, we have to be here. You know, January 1st, we have to be here. March 1st, we have to be here, instead of, well, we're ahead of it in pitching or ahead of it in hitting, but it's more, you know, to that schedule, because of, you know, past success can determine like your goals of where you want to get to. So I'm sure you use a little of that with, you know, your program success and that you have an idea of where you need to be each season, and it's adaptable. If some teams are ahead of it and some teams are behind, and finding ways to catch up. Again, thing that, you know, this is behind the scenes stuff. No one's out there saying, you know, well, we see people like, man, my schedule's booked, or I've had, you know, booked all day. But it's not the glamour thing, but it is a behind the scenes thing that I think helped lend to success. I think it can be a separator and be an advantage. I think it helps, you know, with confidence and performance, that if we keep student athletes to a schedule, that it'll minimize those other distractions. And as you mentioned, you do it Sunday night for the week, that it starts beforehand, that it's part of that preparation mode of putting a schedule together and putting your goals together and having those to meet, that happens when that no one else is watching.
Agreed.
So again, I believe it's discipline, it's routine, it's preparation. But in the end, you know, a schedule can lead to optimal performance. All right, so good discussion. It's that time.
Rex food question.
All right. So this weekend I went and visited my son, and he worked all weekend at a baseball tournament. So his favorite restaurant is Chick-fil-A. And I've ate there so many times this weekend. I'm not even a chicken person. But I love their dipping sauce. The Chick-fil-A dipping sauce is incredible. So we have bottles of it at home. So then I get home and I'm looking in my refrigerator, and we have Arby's dipping sauce at home. We have barbecue sauces. There's another one I'm missing that I can't. Oh, Big John Steak and Onion has a good sauce for their steak Philly. That's really good. I like Applebee's honey mustard for my chicken tenders, but in the end, it's hard to pass up Chick-fil-A's dipping sauce. So my question is, what's your favorite dipping sauce? For French fries, for nuggets, for hamburgers? We've talked about ranch before. We can't use ranch as an answer here. Something
You're throwing out some specific stuff there, right? Are we talking about like specific?
Yeah, specific as you can get. I mean, I gave you a couple of them that are usually high in the list. The other one I like, I just had Wendy's honey barbecue sauce.
I mean, we're talking about really the bachelor pad in the refrigerator bowl of just fast food, whatever.
Dip. All right. Just a dip that you want, your go-to. Like if you could have something to dip a lot of your different foods into, what would it be?
Well, first of all, I use Red Hot on almost everything.
Okay.
So if we're just talking just sauces.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Yep.
I will say that very often I like Burger King's barbecue, the little packets.
Okay.
I will order a cheeseburger and then I'll actually order the barbecue and then put that on the cheeseburger.
Okay.
It's actually better than their, like, whatever barbecue they use, because it seems different.
Yeah, they're different. Wendy's I saw with a honey barbecue, that I like honey barbecue when you talk about wings from wing places.
Yeah.
So. But Red Hot is a good one too. I went to a restaurant that had honey sriracha barbecue sauce. Oh, that'd be interesting. It was a little spicy. My wife likes sriracha and Red Hot on everything. So, Cut, you got one you go to?
Well, back in the
you want a bottle of it at home that you can
back,
have?
Back in the day, Subway used to have a sriracha sauce that they'd put on subs. And they kind of, I don't think they really have it anymore, but that was kind of a go-to. Where we live, we definitely have the, you know, the other sauces that you kind of talk about in our refrigerator, the Chick-fil-A sauces and things like that. But I still go back to ranch, and I go back to Clavon's Ranch.
Oh!
The Clavon's Ranch is at a different level. So it's something that definitely can go on things like burgers. It goes great with fries. It is incredible with pizza crust and things like that.
Okay. I don't think I ever had Clavon's Ranch.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to try it. My kids order extra to keep, you know, you can't buy it like you can buy these other ones in the bottle yet, but it does have a distinct flavor, and it is, again, that's I think a trait of a good sauce that is, it doesn't have to just be for chicken tender. You can put your fries in there, dip a burger in it, as you mentioned with barbecue or pizza, or pizza crust too.
So Taco Bell used to have this like breakfast salsa that was really good, and they got rid of it. I never understood why.
Yeah, I don't know why these places are getting rid of, like Subway getting rid of Malachi. You got one?
Yeah. In general, if we're talking general sauces, I've been really craving buffalo sauce. Just in general, it's just a spicy kick I just can't find with any other. Or mango habanero sauce, also really good. But if I had to specifically pick a sauce, it would be Cottage Inn Ranch.
Oh.
Really? Cottage Inn's Ranch is so good.
We have a bottle of that in our fridge.
Oh, you do?
You have to. You have
to. We're going to have to do a taste test on this between Cottage Inn's Ranch and Clavon's Ranch.
Clavon's is better, but if you do go into Cottage Inn, they actually will sell their bottles in a squeezable bottle now. They'll give you a squeezable bottle.
I didn't know they did their own.
I didn't either. I've gone to Cottage Inn forever and like their pizza, so I didn't know they did it.
Usually the pizza I order doesn't require ranch.
So. Yeah, but the if they have good ranch for the crust, it's like a breadstick kind of thing. So. Well, good stuff. That was really good. So go out and try your favorite sauce or buy it for your home fridge. And until next time, go Stars. Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalian Lowry, and you can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars!